Does not wisdom call and does not understanding raise her voice? Words from the Proverbs we hear this morning. I was in a conversation recently where the question was raised, what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? And in the group, various answers got proposed. Some were quite creative, but my favorite response was this. Knowledge is when you know that a tomato is a fruit. And wisdom is when you know that you don't put a tomato in fruit salad. Right? Perfect. Yeah. So this morning, we're all about this funny little day in the church's calendar that we call Trinity Sunday, a Sunday that I think takes quite a bit of wisdom to really make out what it is that we, the church, are proclaiming on this day. In the reading from Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a female presence. She calls out to everyone to come to her for understanding. She is the spirit with God from the very beginning of the creation. She is that spirit that hovered over the waters of chaos. For several weeks now, we've heard Jesus making promises to his disciples. He's going to leave them to return to the Father, but in his place, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, holy wisdom. The Spirit is Jesus' parting gift to be with his followers in his absence, to be with them and us, leading the church into all truth. We need more truth in our lives. But we also need wisdom to know how to live into truth. And I want to propose this morning that truth is not always found in quantifiable scientific fact. Sometimes truth is found in the mysterious realm of faith. So today we celebrate this Holy Trinity. It's the only Sunday in the entire church calendar that's dedicated to a doctrine. No other time in the church's life do we talk much about doctrines. Now, I'm not very fond of Trinity Sunday, particularly in preaching on it, but I think doctrines are better suited to the halls of academia and to seminary classrooms where, better minds than mine can think about these things. Which is why most Sundays what we hear when we gather together is narrative. The narrative that seeks to tell us something about Jesus, about life and death and resurrection. Maybe about a prophet or maybe about a saint. But we tend to go to the narratives because it's the way we make meaning of our lives, it's the way we connect the stories of our lives, our narratives, back to God. So why does the Trinity get its own feast day? I have no idea, except that it does. And it's always the Sunday that follows Pentecost. Every year, like clockwork, we gather and talk about Trinity. Particularly, I think this is challenging when we consider that as Episcopalians, we spend so little time talking about doctrine or dogma, right? Unlike other denominations, we don't get bogged down into discussions about atonement theories or sacramental theology or predestination, thank goodness. We tend to proclaim the stories that guide us into becoming more and more faithful children of God. And when we consider the tumultuous history of the church, maybe it's a good thing that we don't focus on dogma. It took more than 300 years, the work of countless theologians and ecclesiastical authorities, with numerous church councils gathering and arguing back and forth, before the definition of Trinity was proclaimed. 300 years. People literally had their heads chopped off. Wars were fought. And how we define God. Yet the Trinity remains fundamental to our identity as Christians. It attempts in some very interesting ways to express the mysterious nature of this God who is three in one and one in three. So we began our liturgy this morning, right, with this acclamation, "Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." We gathered around this font last Sunday, and we baptized into our fellowship two new souls, two new daughters of God, in the name of the Trinity. Every week, we profess our faith in the triune God as we proclaim the Nicene Creed, or if you do morning or evening prayer, the Apostles' Creed. And in that beautiful hymn of praise, which began our liturgy, it's all about Father, Son, and Spirit. So the idea of the Trinity is one way that we try to capture the diverse ways we experience God as creator, as redeemer, as continuing abiding presence with us. Three distinct persons in one divine unity, bound together in love. And that's the key, love. The Trinity is a mystery in the same way that love is a mystery. We do not know love in the way we can prove it scientifically. We know love because we experience it in our lives. So I think this recognition of love falls into that category of wisdom. We need wisdom to ponder the Trinity, to understand, I think, foremost, what it reveals about our lives. You see, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are a community of love. That's the icon the church is holding up for us, a community of loving beings. And we can only comprehend this idea, this concept, this doctrine through faith. And what we primarily learn, I think, from the Trinity is that not one of us is meant to be alone. None of us are meant to be alone. The Christian life is about how we are bound together in God to face life, all of life, the joys and the fears, even death, in community with God and with each other. Some 10 years ago, or a little more than 10 years ago, when I was a newly ordained priest, the Reverend Harry Pritchett preached a sermon in which he quoted someone who is very dear to many of us, the Reverend Martha Stern. Martha and Harry served together at All Saints downtown for a number of years, and it was Martha who helped Harry understand something about this strange concept of Trinitarian God. Martha said, "What we remember on Trinity Sunday is that in the very heart of God, there is a we. There is a we. It's more than I, and it's more than you, for we are made in the image of God, and we reflect back to God the we-ness of who we are." That's my paraphrase. I think that she is trying to say that being made in God's image means that we are made to be in community with one another. The whole universe is eternally related, always in relationship with everything else that is, each of us related to God, each of us related to the rest of humanity, all of us an eternal mystery. This morning, the Gospel of John infers rather than postulates a theory of Trinitarian dogma. Jesus says, "All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is just as convoluted as the lessons from John have been during the season of Easter. And I think I said in here, maybe I would hate to have to diagram these sentences that he proposes. This statement reveals, however, is a relationship of pure mutuality, pure trust, pure love. There is no competition or selfishness, no grasping for power by one person over the other, no desire to be greater in rank. Each person, Father, Son, and Spirit, exercises their beingness in complete agreement with the other two. All of the creating, all of the redeeming, all of the abiding is accomplished out of love. Love for each other and love for the creation. So Jesus promises to send us the Spirit of truth, this holy wisdom, this one to come and be with us and among us and fill us so that we might understand this mystery that God is one in three and three in one, and that we are part of this mystery, bound up together with God. It's a mystery, and it's an incomprehensible love that we are shown that is almost antithetical to broken humankind. Jesus gifts us the Spirit to lead us from the compulsion of our own selfish ways, of grasping for power and glory and rank over the rest of the human family, actually to be able to see each other as family. Wisdom teaches us how to live into and incarnate God's love day by day, if we seek understanding, if we hear the voice of wisdom calling out to each and every one of us. In his book, Wishful Thinking, Frederick Buechner describes the persons of the Trinity as mystery beyond us, mystery among us, mystery within us. But it is not a mystery that is completely otherworldly. It's not a mystery that's concerned only with heavenly matters. Buechner contends that this mystery is concerned with the down-to-earth work that God wants to do among us. Jesus brings the love of the Father to us by living among us, bringing the divine into the ordinariness of everyday existence. Jesus reveals the Father's glory by eating, well, with those who aren't accepted very much by anyone else, outcasts and sinners, reaching out to the least and to the little and to the lost, forgiving and reconciling the estranged with love and with tenderness and with care. Jesus goes to the cross to teach us that giving away one's life is how we bring life to others. It's through baptism that we receive this indwelling spirit that comes to teach us and to abide in us and to abide within each other in the community of the church. And in this community where we love one another, we learn how to be in relationship with this divine Trinity. It's also in church where we learn to love and support each other as we are day by day transformed into the image of Jesus, so that we, like God, who is an icon of eternal community, become an icon to the world. Through us, people get to see something about God's kingdom. And then in every Eucharist, we are sent out, filled up to the very brim with God, to take resurrection love to places of death and despair. It's truly an awesome dogma if we don't get bogged down in the metaphysics of it all. On this Trinity Sunday, I think God is calling us to be community where everyone is welcome, where nobody ever has to be alone, where I gives way to we. And gathering around this altar together as one family, we get a glimpse of the possibility of what community might be. Gathered around these rails, it's here that God meets us as we gather to take in little bits of bread and little sips of wine, where we are one family by the grace of God. Does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice? So today we remember Lady Wisdom, and that she is always calling us into new understandings of God, into new understandings of grace, calling us to embrace new life, new possibilities, new relationships, as we draw, as our bishop says, the circle wider, so that there's a place for everyone to find community. So let's give thanks today for Trinity Sunday, for Holy Wisdom, and remember, you don't put tomatoes in fruit salad. Amen.